on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's job. Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahue. Capable of anything. Tahue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. This is the last Orient Hour before Christmas, so hope everybody's ready, got your turkeys, and you've enjoyed your Christmas parties. So tonight we're hoping to bring you some Christmas cheer and not leave it to the last 2 minutes. So still rather happy from the last golf smash and grab of the Cheltenham game. We have a Christmas fixture related quiz for you, and I'll ask my panel for their Orient player manager Christmas related names. So on to our guests in the studio tonight, and over in the far corner is Howard. How are you tonight?
Oh yeah, good, thanks. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Howard. And next to Howard we have Grant. How are you, Grant?
Very good, thank you. Tucking into the cheese board as we speak.
Yes, Andy has put the cheese board. Are you okay, Andy?
I'm loving it, Trip.
Thank you. And next to Grant, we have got Rich. How are you, Rich?
Good, thanks, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Very good, very good. After Saturday's magnificent performance. And just walked through the door is Barry. How are you, Barry? Barry
right,
Galvin.
Right. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, good.
The cheese balls. How are you, Andy? All right. How's your DJ style?
Oh, this is going to be a tough one tonight. These two, when you listen to their shows, they're murder. Anyway, so on Saturday, there wasn't a lot to talk about during the game, so we got talking about things, and we've come up with a quiz question at the start of the programme. It's related to players that have scored on every day of the week, and allegedly, Mo Salah's done it for Liverpool, but Ipswich claimed to have four players. So, Andy's giggling like anything, which is not helping. So which Orient player scored a goal, Andy, on every day of the week? And which current Orient player needs to score a goal on Wednesday to join that elite club? So that's a question we were answered for you listening at home, or you're going to catch up on the podcast to come out. But these boys have got pens and papers in front of them, and they've got to try and answer that during the show if they can concentrate with Mr. Gilson waving his arms around here. So no Karen tonight because she's out celebrating her mum's 80th birthday. Rose goes home and away with the O's, and she thoroughly enjoys herself. So the Orient Hour and everybody that knows Rose would like to wish her an happy birthday. So on to what happened at the weekend. We travelled to Wadham Road, as I like to call it, to play Cheltenham, who were at the bottom of the league, and we played a 4-2-3-1 with Bryn, Hunt, Hatt, Beckles-Brown, Prattley, Elmazouni, Archibald, Moncur, Sartorio and Ajay were the starters. Well, before we get started talking about it, we're going to listen to Richie first, because I think his comments are be quite good for our chat in a minute.
Richie, thanks for joining us. What are your emotions after that result?
Mine are clear. I didn't celebrate the equaliser, didn't celebrate the winning goal, because I'm very performance related, and when I don't get too down when we're performing well against Derby and things go against us and we get beat, I don't get too down because I'm always performance related. So I'm happy because of the result, but also frustrated that it was difficult because we came here with a game plan, and we'd watch Oxford and Wigan and Derby play here, and none of them have won. You see the size of the pitch. You see first half, we've got the wind, and everything is overhit. Everything's running out of play, and it's really, really difficult to get any rhythm. But we're still in control first half. Second half, we come out and we want to play in around the back against the wind. Against, you have to give them a lot of credit, against an aggressive team that's very aggressive. But we never found belief in the game. Second half, never found any belief, never found any rhythm, because ultimately our decision making was poor. Whether it be a one touch pass, whether it be an open up, we receive the ball moving backwards a lot, so it allows them to nick it and to counter on us. And the last 11 minutes plus injury time, so the last 16 minutes, I thought our subs were good, but then we start making good decisions and moving the ball quickly, and then we probably get three or four cleared off the line. We look like scoring, and obviously that accumulates. When you make good decisions on a football pitch, it gives you confidence, it gives you belief, and then you can build from that, and you build momentum into the game. But the momentum for the first 34 minutes of the second half was all with them, and credit to them, because this is a really difficult place to come. But I'm also proud that, one, the subs we came on and their attitude and the body language was excellent, but also that we kept going and we showed fight, because we've played a hell of a lot better in recent weeks and not got our just rewards. So I'm pleased with the result.
Any complaints about the penalty kick? Darren Prattley was clearly disappointed.
Yeah, well, Darren's adamant that they didn't touch him, but when you get a man sent off in the circumstances that he did, then every decision they're going to ask for, and the referee sometimes feel, I'm not saying he did, but sometimes they feel obliged to give a decision not to even it up just to appease the supporters. So we're making, the ball's going up to their striker, we make a contact, and then we know that if we make another contact with him, the referee's going to give a free kick. So again, Dan Hap giving free kicks away, come on, we don't need to break the game up. I don't think it was a penalty, because I don't think he touched him, and Darren's an honest lad, but I also think he gave the decision, because he's sliding in a reckless manner, he gives a referee a decision to make, and it went against us.
Two deflections for both goals. Would they be own goals?
Well, no, I think that Shaq scored and Galbraith scored, so their claim. I don't think one of them was a deflection. But again, we put balls in areas, and when you start putting balls there, we just put one before that where Pigs just couldn't reach it, you know, and we got two or three cleared off the line in the last 10 minutes. So it's about, I thought Shaq's movement was excellent, give us a different dimension. And again, what was really difficult is we came here with a game plan, with Prats, with Idy in midfield, because we know that it's coming, and physically we have to stand up to him. I thought we did for 20 minutes, but then sending off didn't, I know it sounds mad, but it didn't really help us, because we have to change with the same personnel, but they stayed exactly the same. They still don't play around the back, they still put it forward, they're still aggressive, and I thought their performance was really, really good. But I have to say that when Galbraith come on in midfield, especially when we changed it and he played deeper, Shaq, Pigs, TJ was excellent. Give us a little bit more composure, and we started to dominate the last 15 minutes.
Waited alongside time for Den Ajoyi to make a first start. What did you think?
I thought he was... We thought he was going to play five at the back, but the wing-backs jumped, which he did. So we thought if we could isolate... We thought Curtis Davies was going to play in the middle. We thought if we could isolate Dan 1v1, any little ricocheting balls, he can use his power and his pace. And I think you've seen glimpses of that. But obviously we get into 60 minutes and we need to take him on. We just need to be careful. And we have to understand that although he's exciting and we want to get him going, I'm really, really... We've had this with Paul Smith and the club. We pick Paul Smith and you never get any games out of him. So we just need to build him up slowly and get his confidence and his rhythm going.
Any injuries ahead of next week and Bolton?
No, everyone was back fit today. Obviously, Ethan's back on the bench. He looked bright. Ed had an illness and then had a little injury. Sotiriu and Prattley have been ill all week. So we just had a little illness, but I thought the lads was... And it happens a lot. We're a fit team and we grow into games. Some of the games that we've lost, we kill ourselves by conceding just before half-time off, and the game drifts away from us, i.e. the Derby one. But I think every time we get into the game in around 70 minutes where we're in and around it, then we can finish the game strong because we're a fit team.
And finally, the supporters really enjoyed the result.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we kept going and like I say, it's really difficult. The messages at half-time was pretty clear. And then for the whole of the rest of the 45 minutes, I didn't really speak, let the players crack, and they're not doing... But it's really difficult for me to keep enforcing the same messages. And luckily, we got to 34 minutes gone and we start making good decisions and getting the other side of their strikers and finding pockets. And then we look good in the last 15 minutes. But No, I'm pleased for the supporters because it's been a long time coming. We have performed a lot better than that. Football's mad, isn't it? So we needed that little bit of luck. But I also think in the last 3 or 4 weeks, probably from the Barnsley game, maybe Burton accumulating in Jordan Graham's injury, I don't think we've had a lot of luck. But I'm a big believer that if you work and you run and you fight and you scrap, then luck will. And we kept going. And you start making good decisions, it's mad. You believe, your momentum shifts, and then you get the just rewards for that. If you just drift through games making bad decisions, poor decisions, then you never get in that river. You don't get them ricochets or the little bits that go for you. So please just support us. I hope you have a good weekend. I did say in my interview yesterday that we've had so many good days here that we want to give them more, but they have to understand we're a work in progress. We're getting more experience at this level, more belief, and we still need a couple more players to add to the squad. So I hope they have a good weekend. We've given them a good day. The fact that we've won in the 90th minute feels great, but again, I'm really balanced in my opinion of what I've seen, and I'm trying to stay performance related.
Congratulations. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. All right, have a safe trip back.
Cheers. Thank you.
Well, there we go. There we had Richie quite clear. And when I listened to that, I actually thought he comes out with some stuff which is a bit different to his normal interview. So I picked the first 2 minutes mainly. And he said, I had clear emotions, win or lose. I'm very performance related. He was happy with the result, obviously, weren't we all? And he then began to tell us that Oxford, Wigan and Derby didn't win at Cheltenham. The overall hit balls, no control, aggressive team, which they did close us down the whole match, I thought. And then he goes on about decision making. Then he goes on about the last 16 minutes, subs good, looked like scoring, difficult place to go. He says that every week. I mean, Jesus Christ. Not a penalty. I thought it was an old pro diving in, and I know Grant's got something to say on that. And he goes on about Dan Hap giving free kicks away. So there we go. Who wants to start me off? And they've all looked at you, Grant.
I'm ready to start.
Go on, off you go, mate.
Well, we're talking about the interview, particularly.
Yeah, and the actual, the match itself, this we're going to discuss.
Again, he dropped a very unsubtle hint about wanting transfers in January, really trying to ramp up the pressure on the board, and I'm not sure I like that. In the end, this is a squad that he's moulded himself, pretty much now. So in a way, he should be looking to get on with it, the players that he took on. Again, were we too faithful with players that we took from League 2 into League 1? Maybe we're paying a little bit of the price for that, because he keeps saying that the players are not implementing what his training methods are on what his game plan is. And that's quite worrying. Going back to the game itself, it's just another game where we've been completely and utterly passive until about the last 10 minutes. We just pass the ball around with no effect. The ball is not going in the opposition box, either on a hell for leather type long ball, Stevenage type style, or by lovely passing movements, whatever you want to talk, whatever way you want to do it. The ball is not going in the opposition box, and you're not going to score. So no wonder people are a little bit unhappy still. Mm-hmm. However, the result is fantastic. By my reckoning, we need a point per game now until the end of the season, and we'll be safe with that. I really am confident of that, and I'm confident that we'll get it. And actually, it's fine that we perhaps nick a result like we did on Saturday, because that certainly would be the description that I'll give for that game.
Mm. Okay, I've got written down here, square pegs in round holes again. Am I sure? I'm going to you this time, Richard, that we started off Brown at right back and Ajay down the middle. Now, I'm not sure that Richie keeps crowing on about this, that and the other, no experience, this, that and the other, but he does pick that start 11, and it was a little bit ineffective in some times, and I just really didn't get Brown at right back.
Yeah, I mean he has played well there previously, but I think that's the problem. You know, when we've had these injuries, people were talking about, oh, let's move Sanders out to here. Or, you know, if you've got a player that's good in a position, I don't understand moving them to a position where they're going to be less effective, especially if the player coming in my opinion, probably, you know, as much as I do rate Darren Pratley, or, well, say rate, what I mean is I like him, but, you know, I don't think this season, I think maybe he seems caught up with him a little bit. So I don't understand the whole moving Brown. And, you know, one of the things that Richie always talks about is we need more experience. But, you know, if experience gives away a penalty, I don't see the point. You might as well just, you know, I know there's the off-the-field stuff and there's the leadership and the talking, but, you know, that was a ridiculous challenge to make. And just going back on another thing you said earlier, well, Richie mentioned about
the Wigan, the Derby, Oxford. I mean, you know, we were against 10 men for 75 minutes. Let's not forget that as well. So that's kind of what was inexcusable about the how poor the performance was, really. But yeah, I mean, Dan AJ as well. I would like to have seen him. We're just making this up as we go along. I would have liked to have seen him out wide, because when he's come on, he's played down, he's looked good. It's the position. I've seen him tear us to pieces twice last season. I don't get playing him down a centre at all. I mean, that for me, I mean, and you remember last season when he started playing Ruel down the centre and he started scoring. And I remember in his interviews with Dave Victor, he was saying, I know what you're going to say, I know what all the fans are going to say. You know, I know he can play there, and yet we're not playing him there. We're moving him out. And I know he's our top scorer, and I know he hasn't been as good as, you know, he's young, he's his first time at this level and stuff. But, you know, I just found it bizarre that we were sticking with him in the middle, because really he was completely ineffective there, to be honest. I mean, you can say again he didn't have the support or whatever, but, you know, if you're, you know, he's one of those players that provides support, I think, more to the others than anything else. But, yeah, I mean, you're right in what you say. It felt like that a bit when I saw the team, and, it came across that way, really.
Howard, I'll come to you now. I mean, we're now 21 games in, just before Christmas. Still not got a settled formation. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's difficult to express the views when everyone else has said what you're thinking. I agree with everyone. We don't think Richie's still sure of his best 11. He might argue that he hasn't got the best 11 to pick from, because they're either injured, sick, or been banned. Like Richie just said, when you see the team sheet and Brown has been moved out of the midfield to be played at right back, when you've got
Tom
right
James.
Backs and you've got Sweeney as a left back, and you think, well, you've got all the players in positions, and like you said, the round pegs in the square holes and things. And the week before, he moaned about he didn't have any experience when he had Moncur and Prattley on the bench. And this week, he plays Moncur and Prattley. And again, unfortunately, Monks didn't give us anything, did he? It was just anonymous. And I'd like to hear Grant's review of Prattley's penalty. Well, he gave the penalty away, because as a referee, I thought the ref was in a great position for that. But I also saw the guy, when I've seen a couple of times, I've seen that guy dive so well. It was to me, as a player, you know, you have to play the game sometimes as well. And I thought the guy dived very well, and the ref was going to yellow card the guy diving. And Prattley's response gave it away as well, because a player doesn't respond like that. I think he is an honest player. He loves a bit of an argy-bargy. He's an old pro, and he knows what he's doing. But when he responds like that, I think it shows that he knows that guy dived, and the referee hopefully saw it as well. And when the ref gives the pen, I thought, a bit let down by the ref there, because I think the guy diving should have had a yellow. But Grant might have seen that completely differently.
Yes, he said.
I did see it differently. So if we take it in stages, first of all, he shouldn't have dived in, because he's then giving the referee a decision to make. And it wasn't even in a position where he really needed to do that. If it was a last-ditch tackle and he's mistimed it, then, yeah, okay, at least he gave it a try. But he didn't need to do that in that position. It was over towards the outside of the, on the side of the 18-yard box by the corner flag. The thing is, as well, is you don't have to make contact for it to be a foul under the laws of the game. If you affect the player in any way by making a challenge, or making him jump over your leg,
or making him dive,
or making him dive, as Barry said, then you're giving, you're risking at that level. People are going to go over if you dive in.
We've all seen it. Yeah, someone jumps in, and a striker will always take the opportunity to go down. Always.
Yeah, and can we blame them?
You have to ask him twice to go down.
I do. He didn't make him dive.
I blame him.
The guy dived.
Yeah, I blame him. Yeah, I blame poor sportsmanship. Everything's about winning and money now. We all want to win. I hate losing, but there's something missing for me. Winning like that, I just don't like it.
You're still leaving yourself open.
It's like, you know, that commentator, he's been clever there. I always won a freak. If you're cheating, I hate it.
I get that.
Thing about that, but it's just like, if you can't win, don't win. You know, just do it properly. And there's so much money and pressure on the footballers in the game.
At all levels.
At our level, that they're told by the manager or the press or whoever, oh, you should have gone down. Or make him make contact, initiate contact, you know, make sure he touches him, go over and... They all do it. They slow up and they make sure they touch him, and over they go, sorry, I'm on a bit of a rant here, but...
No, carry on.
He made him make that decision to go down, to give the ref a decision to give a penalty, and that is what happens week in, week out. Not just to us, it goes for us, against us, but I just don't like that part of the game.
No, you're spot on, and let's bring something else up. I know we shouldn't highlight certain bits, but it's interesting when that guy got sent off for Cheltenham with the two yellows. Personally, I didn't actually first see the first yellow. Somebody said it was an elbow, but I wasn't.
I thought it was a bit soft the first.
It was a soft, and then the second one was also. I don't know.
He's one on one, and he's pushed.
What do you think, Grant? Were they both yellows? Honestly,
the second one for definite. And the thing is, the referee booked Beckles in the third minute, and after that, he set the tone for the game, and he was consistent with what he was doing throughout the game. So you can't really argue with that. You can't have it both ways. Going back to the penalty incident, it's just a case of, you know, why dive in and leave yourself open to that? You know,
that's, do it. That's experience
exactly. He shouldn't be doing that. But you know, as I say, the referee's given the penalty. If he's made him even jump over his leg, and then he's dived, whatever, that's still a penalty for me. I would have given it. He was in a good position, the referee. So there we go. I don't like to go at players, but I wouldn't have kept Prattley on at the end of last season. I could see this.
10 more years.
Yeah. It doesn't mean I dislike
him.
I think
the contract was. I've heard people singing it.
They do sing it.
You've got to start the first one, though. One more year, one more year.
Yeah, but then
we could go to you, then we could go to
Rich. They come up to 10, yeah. So it must have been an extension.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you with the diving malarkey, Barrett.
Because is the word.
Because the amount of times I've seen Orient players dive, and that makes me angry. You know what I mean? It's blatant cheating. And over the years, we have had a few that you think, you stay on your feet, you score. But straight down. So
second only to time wasting in my annoyance book.
One last thing on the penalty, and then we'll leave it.
Go on.
Is that you always look at player reaction. That will always tell you what the correct decision is. And there was only one Orient player that objected to that penalty, and that was Prattley, because he knew he made a mistake.
He'd been mugged, hadn't he?
Beckles, to be fair, Beckles did go and back him up a little bit.
Well, those are the experienced players.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, obviously. I mean, I think the rest... Because you know, if you play, you know that you're not going to win. The refs give the decision, and your head goes down. You think, there's no point arguing with him. That's the point. That's why I don't think they go and surround him. They're not allowed to surround him anymore anyway. Oh, they're all going to get a yellow card. But what I'm saying is, you're saying you would give it as a ref because of he's made him dive type of thing. You're saying he made him dive. I don't think he made him dive. I saw it as a dive, and I would have yellow carded the guy on the floor and gone that way around to say, you're yellow carded if you guys need to stop diving. That's a different opinion.
I'll give you a scenario. A player's running down the wing and another player goes over from the defence and tries to wipe him out, and he misses and he hurdles the player to avoid being... That's a foul. He doesn't have to make contact. And it's the same with this incident. That's the last I'll say on it.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation coming up in the cab, and I have to say, Grant is putting a lot of us correct this season. It's great to have you on the show when you do have the referee's eyes to it, because we've all learned about the offside rule with being in our own half and everybody screaming blue murder from the west side, and, you know, so it's good to have somebody who knows the laws of the game. I think we know everything, but we don't. So, anything from you, Barry, about the midfield pair? No creativity or...?
I think the game in general, my opinion was, when we started off, I thought we were fairly bright, without actually looking that dangerous. We hit the bar, and we thought, OK, they get a man sent off, as we discussed probably quite rightly. And then we were looking good without looking too dangerous, and it was all set up for a second-half assault. OK, and I thought, at half-time, I genuinely thought, we'll probably get one, and then we'll go on to get another one. But I was disappointed with the second half. I was disappointed with our... lack of goatingness, if that's a phrase, in the second half. And yeah, I agree that since we lost Jordan Graham,
it made for him that game, weren't it?
We need a winger, and therefore I'd play Dan, who is a natural winger, play Dan Adjaye out on the wing, so that he can get those balls in the box and roll down the middle. You know, that's just my opinion, but I was disappointed. Apart from the last 10 minutes when we did seem to make a difference with the subs coming on. And it's great to see it go our way for once. I, for one, am not crying for Cheltenham, because I've seen it happen to us. That Northampton one that deflected up over Sol Brin, for example. You know, that happened to us then. So it's great to get a last, if undeserved, last minute win. And we've scored, I don't know how many points we've got, but we've scored so many goals.
25.
No, I mean in total. You didn't let me finish. Ref. Ref! After 85 minutes, I'm saying, we've probably gained, what, six, that's 7 points?
Seven or eight goals in that.
Yeah,
there we go.
After the 85-minute mark, you know, so that's a good habit.
I've got them here, and...
well done, you're a pro.
Well, no, I've got it off Twitter, and I'm going to thank Daniel Alton for this as well. Soturio, 86 versus Wickham. 92 minutes versus Exeter, which was a winner. That was worth 3 points. Moncur, 90 versus Reading. Fulham under 21s, if we count that. 96, Il Mazzuni. Fulg, 96 minutes, Northampton. Soturio, 91 minutes, Carlisle. Own goal, Bristol Rovers,
he's
93
good.
Minutes.
He's good.
Fulg, 89, Cheltenham, Galbraith, 94. It's not a fluke that we score late goals.
He's good.
Yeah. You know. It is. That is. I'll go on to the subs. I mean, I've tweeted weeks ago about Galbraith. Galbraith come on Saturday. He ran 40 yards with a ball. All of a sudden, Cheltenham went, oh dear. And it put Cheltenham back, in my opinion, to, you know, that last 15 minutes when you're all treading water at the back, you know, that you can't get out your own half. And that, just that one run, which obviously Moncur, Prattley, Elmer's in there, not done the whole game, the whole of their back four went back, and then we had them there to go on. And we all watch enough football to know if you get one, the second can come, can't it?
Trevor, have you got the stats of how many goals we've conceded in the last 10 minutes?
Or like that minute, 40th minute, 45th minute, that's what I want to see. That's what we seem to
well, see. I haven't, no.
We know the nemesis period is around half-time, before and after half-time, but you'll find that the stats are in football that most goals, generally, you get a lot of goals late in games because players are tired and mistakes happen, etc. But it's still a decent record, and long may it continue. And maybe on Saturday at Bolton we'll nick a 1-0.
Do you think, go to these goals either side of half time, do you think it's a concentration level aspect of why we're letting goals in? So you've just come out, you've had your team talk against Derby, Oxford, we've let goals in.
Some of them are just before half time as well, so it's difficult to put your finger on it. It really is.
Mental
as to what's
finger.
Going on.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not prepping properly when they come out for the second half. Who knows? It's difficult to say, but it's frustrating.
But they were an aggressive team, Cheltenham. I mean, the work level they were going through, you knew they would get tired. I mean, sitting in the stand, we didn't have much to talk about because they just literally were just shutting us down. They played off the odd scraps and that. But, I mean, their manager come from Port Vale. You never got an easy game at Port Vale, so nobody's going to get an easy game at Cheltenham, aren't they now? And so Richie is right saying Derby and people like that didn't win there. So in the end, it's a great 3 points in my opinion. It was a good jump up and down. It made a wonderful journey home, those of us who made it. So anyway, any more thoughts on the Cheltenham game before we leave that?
The only thing I was going to mention was that I'd quite... Every week I'm desperate for Dave Victor to ask what's going on with Ethan Galbraith, because I don't understand. Like, there's been part times where he's not even come off the bench, or if he has, I mean, even then, what was that, 5-10 minutes or something? And the best we've played this season is when he was in the team, him, El Mazzuni and Jordan Brown. I know Terry says this when he's on the show a lot as well. He was confused. He came out of the team. I don't think whether there was a knock, but he was on the bench. I know he's had the odd game injured since, where he's not been in the squad, but I just don't understand it. And this is kind of bringing back to what you said earlier, because, you know, Richie picks these players. You know, I find it odd sometimes when you sort of, the players aren't doing this, you know, when you've probably got, I mean, I know it's easy for us to say, we don't see him every day of the week, but it's one of these, do you know, when you look at it's one of these things, I think that all the fans can see it, everyone can see it other than the manager and the coaches, and it's just confusing. I mean, it makes me think there must be a reason, because, you know, whether it's kind of like the old Joe Baker situation where he maybe can't last that long, I don't know what it is, but he seemed to be all right when he started, but it just feels like there's a reason why he's not starting games, whether he's just not his sort of player at the moment, or whether there is something behind the scenes that we don't know. But I'd love Dave Victor to actually ask the question about when he might actually be getting a start, because he affects the game when he comes on, and our good run was when he was in the 11.
In the Martin Ling interview last week, he talked about Galbraith, and he said it's just a case of they're bringing him on slow. Oh no, it was Matt Harrold actually on the Orient Outlook, and they said that they're taking their time in bringing him on. He's not quite ready to be playing all the time. I'm not knocking the kid at all, because I'm really excited about him. I was excited the first game I saw him at Billericay in the pre-season. But
he is prone to be making the odd mistake and maybe the wrong decision.
In areas, that's what he's vicious. He has pulled him for that.
Coming in as an impact player with 20 minutes to go, to be honest with you, I'm with that at the moment. Mm. I think that's probably the better way at the moment. And also keep his confidence levels up rather than maybe having a bad game and setting him back again.
Well, I was pleased for him getting the goal because he had a rasp saved at Burton, and there was another game where he had a good one saved. Tips over.
Did he get credited with a goal? Because it was on target, but the other side of the
goal. Doesn't it go to committee in the Premier League? But I'm not sure it goes to a committee. But
I mean, the rule is if it's on target,
it goes in. Yeah,
it probably was. Albeit the other side of the goal.
Yeah,
If you don't have a shot, that doesn't go in, does it?
If you don't shoot, you don't buy a ticket, you don't shoot, you don't score. I mean, the thing is, in all the football I've watched, you know when you see the keeper flat foot and it goes the other way? When it's for you, it's great, but when it's against you, if you're a keeper, you must hate it, mustn't you? You know what I mean? So, anyway,
the Chesterfield one, we had one of those as well, didn't we? Mm. Off Mizuni as well. So it's swings and roundabouts.
It's all good stuff. Right, okay. Are you lot ready to have this Christmas quiz? Come on. No. Oh, that's great. Well, come on. You've got to try this. I spent hours.
What's it about?
It's about Christmas fixtures and see what you know about the O's over the year. So you've only got to answer the question. I've got to talk to myself for about 5 minutes while you're trying to say this. So I've already got your pens ready.
Andy talks to himself for an hour every week, didn't you, Andy, when you do your... You talk to yourself every week when you do your show, didn't you, Andy?
Anyway.
On Phoenix FM.
I'm glad I'm not on with you two, I tell you. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, right, moving on swiftly. When did Leighton Orient last play on Christmas Day? And don't say Gilson was there. And who scored 4 goals that day? 4 goals. Yeah. It was actually on Twitter this week, funny enough. Tony Incenzo was doing a little bit about Christmas football, and last time there was a whole league programme on Christmas Day. Orient won 6-2, so there's plenty of presents being given out. So if you remember that game, you do. So we're going to the next one now. I expect somebody to get this right. Boxing Day 1978. A few of you may have been there. Orient beat West Ham 2-0 at Upton Park. Who were the scorers on that glorious day at Upton Park? I mean, those are the days when Orient used to have proper London derbies, more than these Essex derbies that you get now, as we say. But even though we don't play that mob from Southend anymore, which is a shame, isn't it? So, question 3. Boxing Day 1998 and 1999, Orient hosted which Welsh club on consecutive Boxing Days? You've only got a few to choose from, so we could have a multiple choice here, couldn't we? So, which Welsh club got the pleasure of coming to East London 2 years running, 98 and 99? There you go. Now, this question 4, I remember this quite well. So it's Boxing Day 2005, who did the O's stick 5 past? That's it. I like to see there's people there going rushing to get their pens and pencils. Now we go on to Boxing Day 1982. Orient hosted Mill in a London derby. What was the attendance to the nearest 100 that day that see Orient run out 1-0 winners? And for a bonus, who got the winning goal? This is in the days of atrocious a crowd. I will say it again. Yeah, Rich. Boxing Day 1982, Orient hosted Millwall in a London derby. What was the attendance to the nearest 100 that day which saw Orient run out 1-0 winners? And for a bonus, who got the winning goal? I think he signed for us that season, the fellow who got the winning goal. No, I don't believe that. Okay, then, question 6. Which ex-league club, now back in non-league, they were a non-league club, but they come to the O's, and they won 3-2 on Boxing Day in 2002. Jabbo got a brace for the O's that day, so if you can remember Jabbo getting 2, you may remember who we played. They're back in non-league. I think they featured in the FA Cup this year as well. 2002. They've got relegated, I think, good 10 years ago.
They're in the National League now.
Yeah. I think they are in the National League, yeah. Lower ends, I think. Right, now, I expect a clean sweep on this one. The two National League seasons, the O's played Dagenham and Redbridge back-to-back both seasons. You played on Boxing Day and New Year's Day. How many points out of the possible 12 on offer did Orient gain out of those four fixtures? That was a good thing about the National League. I have to say that you did get to play teams back-to-back like the old days, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so Orient played Dagenham and Redbridge back-to-back, home and away, out of a possible 12. How many did we get? And considering we were champions in one of them, that may help you out.
Can we have some tougher questions, please, Trevor?
Oh, yeah, this one's getting better now.
Some I don't have to guess.
You're always welcome if we do the summer quiz again to come on, you know. The likes of you, Grant, would probably be good, unless they're all for refereeing and penalty decisions. Boxing Day 1988, Terry Howard was on target for the O's in a 2-0 win versus Tranmere. Who got the other goal? This is tough, I must admit. But because we all know Terry Howard.
I'm not paying attention. Can I have a question again?
Yep, Terry Howard was on target for the O's in a 2-0 win versus Tranmere.
Can I phone Terry and ask?
Yeah, go on. I thought somebody would text him. Quickly. Imagine if Terry didn't know, though. That's trouble. And who got the other goal for the O's? 88. Yeah, 1988.
Well, that's close to 1888, yeah. Thank you, folks. Thanks for the clarification.
Right. I can't wait. Who did Leighton Orient play in their first game of the new millennium, when the millennium bug was about to hit and all that? Who did Orient play? That's a great one. There was a... Oh, I'll give you it all clear. I think it's the same team we actually played in their first home league game in about 1905. Yeah, it is, yeah. We played Leicester Fosse, first ever game in the Football League, but I think we played this side second. But, yeah. It just come out to me while I was sitting there making these questions. Just have a guess. They are in the Championship at the moment, so, and we've played them a few times in good games.
If you answer that.
Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, it's Christmas, Rich. It's Christmas. Last one, but then we can go on some more serious stuff. All right, Andy, sorry.
I'll change it,
Richard.
It's
stressing me out.
Andy's just written down the whole of the Championship, does it? Oh dear. Okay, Boxing Day 2015 saw a rather entertaining game at Brisbane Road as we hosted Pompey and we ran out 3-2 winners. Okay, who got a brace that afternoon for the O's and who got sent off? As we all know, there was a few other shenanigans going on that afternoon, if that should jog your memory of the game. 2015, FB was in their house. Yeah, we played Pompey, and we ran out 3-2 winners. Somebody got a brace, and a player got sent off. And I think a certain man put a size 9 up Andy Aston Taylor. That's the game we're talking about. So, one got sent off, and we managed to hold on to that. So, there we go. So just as a little reminder, we'll go back to the first question of the day before we give these answers. Which Orient player has scored a goal on every day of the week? And which current Orient player needs to score on a Wednesday to join that elite club? So that's rock and roll away days with the Leighton Orient fans, you know what I mean? So anyway, just before we go into listen to Dave Victor and Victor's View this week, I'm going to ask my panel to think about Orient players, managers with Christmas themes. If I give you the type of answer I'm looking for, we're looking for Mac, Joseph and Mary. So can we have Victor's View, please?
It was not the performance that the travelling faithful wanted to see, but it was just the result that the O's needed. Last week I said that the only luck that Leighton Orient were getting was bad. That changed in the final minutes at Cheltenham. The old cliche is true, you definitely make your own luck in football. Richie Wellenside never gave up. His substitutes had the impact that the O's boss demanded. Two massive deflections, three precious points. Orient coming from behind to maintain an impressive unbeaten run in the league on the road. It's now 5. That puts Wellen's men on joint 3rd place, together with Inform, Barrow and Liverpool, Southampton 7, Portsmouth, best in the country, an incredible 16. As Paul Brush said on more than one occasion, it's hard against 10 men, especially on a pitch as tight as Wadham Road, where the O's have a dreadful record. Ethan Galbraith again looked the park, Shaq poured, providing energy in attack when it was needed most. It'll be a very different test against Bolton at the weekend, unlike the Robins. They are not in form. Back-to-back defeats, the first at Portsmouth and then at home to Bristol Rovers. The weight of expectation can weigh heavily on the shoulders of the Wanderers players. I think whoever scores first will have a significant advantage. It's Orient's final game before the festive season, which sees a London derby against Charlton on Boxing Day, followed by Wickham Wanderers' visit on Friday night, before 2024 kicks off for Cambridge United. 2023 will always be a special one for the Orient faithful. Three matches remain. They'll determine whether we start the new year looking up the table or down at the clubs below us. We've come a long way in a relatively short period. We have a young, talented squad, which this season has been hit harder than most by both injuries and illness. Let's remain positive and believe in this side, and we can build on Saturday's commitment and good fortune. Happy holidays and up the O's.
Well, there we have it. And that was Victor's view for this week. Thank you for that, Dave. Well, in between listening to that, I don't think my panel have really took this this game on upon themselves, so I will read you some of these rather tedious things out what we managed to do last week, the away game. So I'll give you Peter Angel. We had Mervyn Christmas Day. Don't get no better than that. Alan White Christmas. Like I said, we Matt Joseph and Mary. And we had Dan Happy Christmas. Oh, God. Peter Christmas Garland,
Andrew Wings of a Dove.
Well, not bad. I did have Les. We had Les Blizzard, in case it snowed, and we had Moses Abajado, and this one was past me, which I really was cringeworthy. Harry Candy Kane. So if anybody else would love to tweet Andy at the Orient Hour with any more of them, please feel... Yeah, why not? So anyway... Right, I've lost my script here now. Come on, so... Anyway, there is a bit of supporters club news, and those of you like a pint, Karen's told me the supporters club will open 11 a.m. Boxing Day for the visit of Charlton Athletic. And she did say it's going to shut at 5 p.m, pretty sharp after the game, but this should allow us to see where we are in the table once all the 3 p.m. kickoffs are finished. So I do believe that we're the only 1 p.m. kickoff, and I'm not sure why. Yeah, when I looked at it, I think most of them are 3 p.m. So there we go. So let's move forward a little bit. Bolton away. Anybody going?
I'll be there.
You're on the Sunshine Bus?
I'll be on the Sunshine Bus. Looking forward to it.
Good.
Do you know
where you're stopping?
4-0 thrashing when we go, because I'm an heavily optimist.
Well, £10 to get in. So what's not to like? It's only £103 on the train to get there.
It's 180 miles away.
It's only £40 on the Sunshine Bus, so I'm there and back, including the game, for £50.
Yeah, that's lovely. It's lovely. So their manager, Ian Ever, ex-Barrow, done quite well there, I think, don't we think? You know, and just had a little look at him. Founded in 1874, Bolton, as Christchurch FC. Well, I never knew that. So, and they play now at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium. Wow.
Tough what?
The Tough Sheet. What are you trying?
It's you and all, mate.
And it opened as a Reebok in 1997. It has a capacity of 28,723. Anybody go to Bolton for Orient for?
No sheet.
I've only seen us lose at Burndon Park. I've not been to the new ground, so I'm looking forward to going. No. We're stopping at the Gerrard Arms, wherever that is, on the way up there.
Owned by Stephen. There you go. So boom, boom. Right, so 4-4. Now, as none of you went, I was just wondering if any of you knew the scorers that night. I went to the Reebok. Yeah, Mark Warren, good effort. We got one. Come on, who else?
Oh, man, that was it then. I thought, was that...
Didn't he get a hat-trick? I thought he got a hat-trick.
No, four different scorers that night. He got a hat-trick at Peterborough, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I just thought, actually. I said it, yeah. What year was that?
This was 97. Andy's reading my notes. Carl Griffiths did score.
Oh, did?
Yeah. Baker, who was mentioned a little bit earlier. And the other one was Alex Ingethorpe. So... what do we think? How are we going to approach this game? Do we want to take me up on that? Have some serious football chat?
Well, Bolton did lose their last home game to Bristol Rovers.
Had a man sent off.
Yeah, they won't be full of confidence. And, no, that's right. They're not in great form, to be honest.
Yeah, they had Samba sent off as well, didn't they? They're centre off.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so, Sansa, that's one. There you go.
Samba Claus, yeah. So, hopefully... I don't know if we can exploit that or what, but I'm sure Pigger, pigs in blankets and...
brilliant.
Yeah, we're getting there, aren't we? Yeah. It's this wine that Andy's given us.
We're going to get stuffing. Thank you.
It's a nailed on home win. It's a nailed on. They've lost their last home game and we just won our last away game, so it's a nailed on home win, isn't it?
It's a bolt on. Christmas special, everyone.
I wouldn't mind that. What's in that Coca-Cola? I mean, let alone a wine. I mean, this is great stuff. So,
it's really not.
It was always going to be a light eye game. Once Andy said you were coming in, that was it. I was just went script right up.
Out
so,
the window, yeah.
So yeah, we're going up to Bolton. I mean, on a seriously note, I hope he does put some of our sort of players that finished the game quite well in, but. I don't believe myself that Ford's a starter yet, but another good impact player. So maybe if you put Pigott up front and Ajay out right, I mean, the pitch at Bolton, I'm sure, is going to be a lot wider than the pitch we had to sort of play on at Cheltenham, which is a very tight ground. So hoping that we start on the front foot and we can remain with 11 players on the pitch and hopefully we can put on a bit of a show on.
I think one thing to say, trying to look at half or full rather than half empty, as you did there, saying we're going to get stuffed. It's a free hit in respect of last week was totally different. We were going to the bottom club and expected to win because we were a bit of pressure because we hadn't won in 7 games or 8 games.
Yeah.
This week we're kind of not expected to win. Bolton strong at home, expected to be in the top 3 or 4, so why not just go for it? You know, if we lose 3-4, then okay, you know, it's not great, but I'd like to see us give it a real go.
We haven't gone for it since I can remember. We just go out in games and we pass the ball around the back. So, again, I'd love to see that, but it remains to be seen.
Okay, well, I think now, before we reveal the answers of the Christmas quiz, I think we have to listen to Matt Roper and a rant.
Football's a funny old game, someone once said, and you couldn't get more funny than Saturday for several reasons. A very harsh booking for Beckles after about 60 seconds, the referee taking the meaning of dishing out cards at Christmas far too literally, had most O's fans thinking this could be a long afternoon. But 20 minutes later, it was in fact the home side in trouble after 2 bookings in the space of a minute or so, and Cheltenham defender Williams getting first dibs on the hot water in the Imperial leather. Now, what stupid O's fans then sat back in their away seats and thought, yep, bottom of the table, 10 men, 70 minutes left. Dear, oh dear, oh dear, don't we ever learn? Despite a very small period of 5 minutes in that first half, we huffed and puffed like Thomas the Tank Engine on 40 a day. And when Prattley conceded a penalty, not 100% sure after seeing the replay, but why dive in, which was dispatched, you could be forgiven for thinking that anyone moaning on social media up till now was actually sane and supporters like me were the crazy ones. Subs thrown on in an ever more increasingly desperate act to try and salvage what would have been a poor point on the road. But with the ref's watch winding down towards the 90, it all looked very much in vain as disgruntled O's fans were sharpening their proverbial keyboard knives ready for the aftermath. Then, out of almost nowhere, a shot from Shaq Ford took a wicked deflection off of born and bred O's fan Curtis Davis and the ball spun agonisingly past the time-wasting goalkeeper nestling in the bottom corner. Cue pandemonium in the away end. But that wasn't it. Roared on by about 500 in the away section, the O's laid siege to the home goal. And just 5 minutes later, courtesy of what looked like another cheeky deflection, the ball nestled in the exact same corner and O's fan went berserk. That's limbs to you youngsters. Although us older bomb now take a lot longer to edge our way down a row of seats and down the steps for in the front of the terrace for leaping. 80s reference there. Cheltenham went straight down the other end and we all thought here is the sucker punch. But we rode out the last 100 seconds for a most famous win. Although, of course, you couldn't say we deserved it. And perhaps even a point would have been harsh on them. And if you're going to technically analyse the first 88 minutes, it was pretty poor. Mixed reactions on social media. Some happy with the win. Some not wanting to celebrate. Richie Wellens didn't. And some going down the middle with the correct line of, well, that was a bloody awful performance, but we'll take a win like that any day of the week. In fact, if you offer me several away days this season where we don't turn up until the last 2 minutes but overturn a home side slender lead with a very late equaliser and a last-gasp winner, then I'll take that all day long. Because let's face it, if you could bottle the emotions we saw in the visitors' end on Saturday and sell it, you'd be a rich person. So on to Bolton and the festive period. This Saturday won't be easy, and here comes the Jonah moment. We have the joint fifth-best defensive away record in the league. We are unbeaten in five on the road, and Bolton have a one in three. Yep, stick your mortgage on the Wanderers and stand at the payout counter with one shopping day left to treat yourself, the missus, the kids, the aunt's dog, and anyone else you please. To be honest, if someone said now we would lose on Saturday, but then the trade-off is two home victories over Charlton and Wickham, I'd take it. 6 points out of the next nine, no matter which way we would get them, would easily see us remain in fourth place at worst, and might have us just creeping into that top half. There's lots of conversation at the moment about where we are going, why it's so flat, and then, of course, the real doom and gloom merchants who believe we're in a relegation battle. Mid-table 14th is almost exactly where most people would have had us at the start of the season. Look, it's not exciting, and yes, I can go so far as to understand that some of the more glass half-empty merchants believe we could be doing better because the division isn't maybe as tough as we actually thought it would be. But in the grand scheme of things, and with a bit of wheeling and dealing in January, it could be another year of progression in my humble opinion. Despite some turgid football, anything 12th and above come May is almost definitely progression. Finally, I'd like to round off by giving out a few tongue-in-cheek or in our Christmas presents. To Jordan Graham, a miracle cure. We've got a few believers in our side, so come on guys, work your magic. To Ethan Galbraith, a set of place mats. And to Aaron Drinnen, a cow and a banjo. Finally, to the Orient Bench, loads of gift cards, replacing the yellow and red ones we seem to keep getting. Happy Christmas, O's fans, and up the super mighty O's.
There we go. That is Matt's latest rant. So here we go. This is the part where we could all get the answers revealed to these questions we set. So, going to the Orient player that has scored a goal on every day of the week. Anybody want to throw a name at me Tommy quickly? Johnson. No, not Tommy. Come on, quickly, round the table.
Steve Castle.
No.
Cole Griffiths?
No.
Scott McLeish?
No.
Jamie Cureton? Calvin scores. Andrew or Frank Nublai?
You're winding me up, aren't you?
There you go.
Anyway, who scored the winner against Wrexham?
Coops.
Mark Cooper. He was the one who scored on a goal. No. Yeah, well done. Not in that game, but yeah, the one again, 89. And the current Orient player?
Ruel, surely.
Ruel, yeah. He's got a score. There we go. Right, here we go. When did Leighton Orient last play on Christmas Day? That was 1957. That was the last time there was a full thing. And who got the four goals?
Tommy Johnston.
Tommy Johnston is correct. Did you know this is you know, we're in a bit of a goal drought at the moment. Tommy Johnston got a hat trick 5 days before Grimsby, and he got one in the return. So he scored 8 goals in 6 days. Glorious days, glorious day. Right, day 78.
Available.
He's in the stand. So, yeah. 78, we beat West Ham at Upton Park. Anybody go to that game, you guys? Yeah, Howard?
I was there.
Thought you would be. Yeah. Who got the goals?
Well, I remember Chidozie got one.
Yeah, Chidozie's
got Mayo as the other one.
Correct, yes.
Chidozie and Mayo.
Yeah. And in front of 29,000 that day, wonderful. Mm. Okay, the Welsh side that had the pleasure of coming to the O's, 98 and 99.
Swansea
is correct. We drew 1-1 in 98. Smith getting a penalty for us, and we lost 1-0. Who did we get five past in 2005?
Rubbish and dustbins.
Rubbish
and
dustbins.
Otherwise known as Russell and Diamonds.
Is the correct answer. Anybody want to tell me the goal scorers? Come on. At least one goal scorer each. No. Scored at Oxford. Yeah, so did Mackie. Jabbo and Easton. Still got a brace. Okay, Boxing Day 82, we hosted Millwall in the London Derby. Shout out me your attendances, Howard.
I've got 4301.
You're close.
4,100.
You're less close.
Millwall, I've got about 8,000 for Millwall.
See, that was a bad days of football. If I told you we played Preston North End before Christmas in front of 1,668.
Yep. I've got 3,700.
No.
4-4.
4-4. Well, it's 4-7-4-0. So Andy and Howard are the closest.
No, it
don't look like it, does it? But which ex-league club won 3-2 on Boxing Day? Oh. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Archon was the score. So, no, you couldn't see the answers. I mean, sorry, I did. Yeah, I did. You got a bonus for that, Andy. Well done. So, which it's Cleed Club won 3-2 on Boxing Day 2002 with Jabbo Graham and a brace? No.
Aldershot?
No.
I've got York.
Kidderminster Harriers.
Oh, he crossed it out.
Yeah, he didn't. Look at that. Right. Let's go on to. Yeah, go on. Andy, four answers here. Well, let's go run through these now. National League season, the O's played Dagenham and Redbridge. How many points did we get out? The 12?
Seven.
2.
I've got 8.
7 is the correct answer. Well done. 2 wins, a draw and a loss. So, Boxing Note 88, Terry Albers on target. Probably a screaming own Terry. Who got the other goal versus Tranmere?
Jukebox.
I've got Kevin
Bailey.
I've got Steve Carson.
No.
Mark Cooper.
No, it was Tim O'Shea. Played 9 games for us and scored 1 goal only.
Shampoo.
Yeah. Who did the O's play in their first league game of the new millennium?
Tranmere.
No.
Cardiff.
Rotherham.
I've got Hull.
Richard got a point there. Hull City. And in true Orient style, it was a drab 0-0 draw. There you go. We're welcome to a new millennium as we mean to go on. Anyway, let's go back to when we played Pompey and there was a load of shenanigans going on. Who got the brace that often and who got sent off?
Was it Henderson?
No.
I've got Simpson as the brace.
Jay Simpson?
Simpson got one. Right. He didn't get a brace.
Yeah, I had Simpson for the 2.
Now plays for Wrexham, the fella.
Ollie Palmer.
And who got sent off? No.
Etienne Garner, I got right there.
No.
Can't remember.
Is it Moody?
No. Our favourite Frenchman.
Matthew Baldry.
Oh, Matthew Baldry it was.
Right. Frenchman I've got the Frenchman. I'll get half a point for a Frenchman.
There we go. That was the end of the quiz. I don't know who's won in the studio. Tell me how many you got.
Four.
Not
many.
Not many. Andy, how many do you get?
Less than four.
Four.
Four and a half.
That's a winner then. How's the winner? Right.
That's a gone. I've done it for me.
Well, what, you want me to play live guitar that we found in the cupboard?
We got 1 minute, have we?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I hope everybody has thoroughly enjoyed this.
What's that, Jamie?
Hope everybody enjoyed this wonderful Christmas special. But we're going to wish you every Christmas. Barry is playing us out. Yeah, come on, Ed.
This is Scott guitar.
You're not sitting without a town. We're the only ones of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best. She won't know where
an Orient from Eton.
Up the O's.
Lay an Orient from Eton.
There we are. Merry Christmas, Merry everyone, Christmas. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, up the O's, and we're going to take Southampton Bolton Saturday. Good night, everybody.